The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Where We Worship today, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of St. Clair Parish in the east side Cleveland suburb of Lyndhurst. Historically, one of those parishes established following the end of the Second World War, which grew immediately with a vibrant Catholic presence and school. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of St. Clair's in Lyndhurst, Father Stan Klasinski, who is joined by parish staff member Mark DeSilvio and principal of Corpus Christi School, Matt Tabar. And Father Stan, just a couple of years ago, the parish celebrated its 75th anniversary. And I think what I've learned about the parish history, like so many, St. Clair was established post-World War II, as I mentioned, Archbishop Edward F. Hoban recognizing the need for another parish along Mayfield Road's corridor from South Euclid to Mayfield Heights. And that's pretty much how the parish came about, is it not?
Yes, Bob. St. Clair Parish was founded on June 8, 1944, to serve much of the suburbs of Lyndhurst and Mayfield Heights. Just months after St. Francis of Assisi had been founded in Gates Mills, St. Clair and St. Francis were offshoots of St. Gregory the Great, South Euclid. It was the Great Eastern Migration up Mayfield Road.
It sure was. Now, tell me, Father, this is always interesting in these interviews. Where were the first Masses celebrated?
Well, the original location was across Mayfield Road from where we are now, and was just three city lots. The site consisted of a former tavern and dance hall. The dance hall became the sanctuary and nave. The restaurant became the parish hall and classrooms. The kitchen was the faculty lounge, and the basement served as the rectory for Father James W. Fitzgerald, the founding pastor.
I know it's always fascinating to find out how this started. You know, we had one parish that actually had its first Masses in a pool hall. In this case, you have a former dance hall and nightclub, but what a wonderful transition. Now, it's my understanding, Father, that right from the start, Catholic education was a priority for the people. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yes. There was never a time when there was not a St. Clair church and a St. Clair school. Four classrooms were located in the tavern. The Ursuline sisters taught in those classrooms and served the parish memorably for many years. In the present church, there are two stained glass windows in the narthex. The west window depicts St. John Vianney, patron of priests. That window is across the drive from the rectory. The east window depicts St. Angela Merici, foundress of the Ursulines. The window is across the drive from the convent. Parishioners have always prized and supported Catholic education, and the parish is indebted to the Ursuline Sisters of Cleveland.
I was just going to ask you, that was always such an important component that we don't like to overlook, and that was the influence of women religious. And in this case, as you just outlined, you know, the Ursuline Sisters really stepped up, and with their mission and charism and teaching, they really fulfilled a major need, particularly in the early stages of development for the parish. Now, over the years, your campus has really grown with construction, variety of facilities. Tell us about that.
Well, just shy of the parish's first anniversary, Father Fitzgerald purchased 12 acres of land directly across the street from the original parish site. On this site, St. Clair School would open in 1949, with three building additions to follow. But the rectory was built in 1949 and later enlarged. The convent was built in 1953 and now serves as the parish business office and meeting rooms. The cornerstone of the current church was laid in 1958. Now, all of this was accomplished by pastor and parishioners in just 16 years.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable in 16 years. And as a pastor, you well know, I'm always really amazed by the effort of the people, because fundraising is definitely involved there. I mean, the people really had their hearts and into their faith, it appears, by actually being able to, truly make it happen from the financial standpoint. Would that be the case?
Oh, certainly. The parish has always been very generous in support of the church and the school.
Well, when we return, St. Clair and Lyndhurst, serving as a growing, vibrant community on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesek's gospel reflection for that Sunday. Now be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. Well, now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of St. Clair Parish in Lyndhurst, Father Stan Klesinski, along with parish staff member Mark DeSilvio, and principal of Corpus Christi School, Matt Tabar. Well, Father Stan, as we reflect on more than 75 years now of St. Clair Parish, I can't help but reflect on the fact that St. Clair has epitomized what a parish should be, promoting, teaching the faith, serving the faithful, and including everyone in the process. Would you agree?
Bob, I could not agree more. Our parish mission has always been worship, education, and service. We anchor our neighborhood. These middle-class communities pride themselves on being neighborly. Our parish reflects the same spirit. We are known as welcoming, as feeling like home. We are a working person's parish. When we need a ministry, we don't hire someone. We do it ourselves. I like to say we are the volunteer parish. We are the generous parish as well. The annual Catholic Charities Appeal, Rooted in Faith, Heart of a Shepherd, all exceed their goals. I barely ask. I'm so proud to call St. Clair my parish.
Well, that's really a profound statement in many respects, and epitomizes what we hope to see in the parish operation. Let me turn to staff member, to Mark DeSilvio. Mark, what are your thoughts about the parish and what it's meant to you and your Catholic faith as well?
Well, St. Clair is my family's spiritual and worship home for almost 30 years. Through St. Clair, we've made many friends, and it's enriched our Catholic faith because we actively engage with the many forms of parish life. But the first time I came to St. Clair was in 1961, when I was 8 and my sister Lisa was 5. We were staying with my Italian grandparents, and Grandpa grew grapes to make his own wine. On that day, he told us to pick the few remaining grapes and dump them to a large tub. And he said, take off your socks and shoes and stomp the grapes in our bare feet. Well, Grandma had no idea that what was going on and hurried us off to St. Clair for Mass. So Lisa and I went to Mass at St. Clair for the first time with purple feet.
With purple feet. Outstanding. As you reflect on that as well, I just wonder, Mark, You know, over the years, since you go back to 61 and so forth, anything that stands out significantly in your mind as far as either, you know, traditions or maybe an event or liturgy or something like that that occurred at the parish?
We've always had outstanding homilists. When Father Pleszynski took his sabbatical to Rome, he came back with word travel stories that people could actually picture in their mind. It was tremendous. The incorporation of weekly adoration is something that is enjoyed by many, many parishioners. Myself, my wife and I have been very active. Rosemary served on the because it was St. Clair School Board, and she now serves on Finance Council. I'm a lector, Eucharistic minister, and a two-time parish council chairman. So St. Clair really is a major part of our lives.
Well, it surely is. You know, you mentioned it, and it is interesting as we look, Mark, at the importance of Catholic education as well. And that merger with Sacred Heart, which was formerly St. Gregory's School, I mean, those were two dominant parishes and schools right in that area, the same area. I recall during that process, it was a challenge for South Euclid and Lyndhurst communities, but it appears to me that there was really a suitable ending that came about with the merger for those schools. Would you reflect on that for me?
My wife served on that committee that looked at merging. It was at times a little difficult, but ultimately it worked out so that Corpus Christi was formed. And, of course, I would certainly let Matt take on that.
Well, sure. And we should point out, first of all, Corpus Christi became the name of, quote-unquote, the new school of the merged school as St. Gregory's and St. Clair's became Corpus Christi on the campus there at St. Clair. And that leads me to Matt Tabar, the principal there. And, Matt, the status of Catholic education now serving that greater Lyndhurst area, South Euclid area, if you will.
Sure, and thank you for asking. Truthfully, what we aspire to is a culture of growth and inclusion, and that starts with our root beliefs. First and foremost, at Corpus Christi Academy, we believe Jesus is the model. On top of that, in terms of being growth-minded and inclusionary, we believe that all children can learn. And that's exemplified by the fact that our students and our families at Corpus Christi Academy want to be here. We actually have a very, very diverse population. We draw from over 17 school districts and a 25-mile radius. Our diversity is not only in terms of socioeconomic status, but also ethnic backgrounds. It brings us to a place where we include and we incorporate all of our families, all of our students into the community of South Euclid and Lyndhurst, even though they're coming from as far as West Park, Parma, and on the east side, Mentor. The newly merged school was the result of a lot of work from the Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish, as well as St. Clair. And I think part of the reason that I was brought in to help lead this school is after 22 years in Catholic education, 19 of which were spent in the Lakewood schools, I was part of a merger that created Lakewood Catholic Academy. And creating a school that is truly Corpus Christi Academy takes time. And that's where we want to create an environment that is open, safe, and welcoming to everybody. And it's exemplified by some of the things we do, including our One School, One Book program, which draws in all of the families to reading with everybody throughout the school, and our World Drawing God Day, where we actually invited the parish and the families into the school to see how our students view God.
Boy, that is fascinating. Matt, I have to go back and suggest, and you've kind of answered it, but you draw students from 17 different school districts as far as 25 miles away. Tell me about that. What do you think draws them to Corpus Christi? You kind of described it, but anything further that would entice me as a parent to be interested?
Well, that's great, and it truly is our growth mindset. And the fact that we meet the children where they are. When our kids walk into the building, they are welcomed. All of the teachers, all of the staff members, everybody knows each student's name. You're walking down the hallways. Everybody is greeting each other. Everybody is saying hello. And the minute we have new families enter the building, the Catholicity, the openness, and the welcoming feeling is palpable.
Well, that is outstanding. Well, coming up, St. Clair and Lyndhurst, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is St. Clair Parish in Lyndhurst. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are the pastor, Father Stan Klasinski, along with parish staff member Mark DeSilvio, and principal at Corpus Christi Elementary School on the campus, Matt Tabar. And Father Stan, tell us about your active ministries, those which serve the spiritual needs of the faithful and those which serve the community as well.
Mark tallied 20 active ministries in our parish. I'll highlight just a few of them. Six ministries support our Sunday worship, and several, not even in the count of 20, support our daily worship. Prayer groups abound and include the Pre-Cenacle, Hispanic Prayer Group, Juan the 23rd, and several men's groups which organically grew on their own. Wednesdays are dedicated to Eucharistic adoration, and we are planning our second Eucharistic procession through the nearby streets for August. Eucharistic ministers serve our homebound, hospitals, and nursing homes. A faith formation is in-house and, to some degree, shared with St. Paschal Bailon and Communion of Saints parishes. We were pioneers in establishing preschool and Sunday school years ago. Our community outreach supports local individuals, families, and diocesan facilities. Our annual parish festival is both a fundraiser and local community builder, drawing neighbors who might not otherwise experience our parish community.
Well, that is always interesting to have that kind of outreach, even in the form of a carnival, but it will bring people in and hopefully expose them to what's really happening on campus. Always interesting to find out. Let me ask as well now, how has the parish coped with this COVID-19 pandemic in order to continue to serve the faithful? Maybe, Mark, could you comment on that?
To do so, Bob. Well, prior to the pandemic, we were emailing parishioners on a weekly basis with parish information and events, and the emails were very much a slimmed-down version of the weekly bulletin. Well, then all of a sudden COVID hit, and we encountered the lockdown. So what happened then was a parishioner volunteered to live stream the 10 a.m. Mass via our parish website and the parish Facebook page. Another parishioner stepped up and created a weekly PDF of the Mass readings, Gospels, prayers, and hymns. At that point, the weekly emails were a huge help in getting a lot of people to the live stream and providing the resource PDF for the Mass. After the lockdown was lifted, the live streaming continued for a while. Stations of the Cross was live streamed, plus the parishioners had a pre-recorded video of Father Klasinski reciting the station's prayers, along with photos of the stations and the text of the prayer. So they could actually watch a video and they could recite the station prayers as Father Klasinski went along the stations. During the 2020 Christmas weeks, Father Klasinski asked three parishioners to deliver a personalized message before and after the live stream Mass to help parishioners overcome their fear about returning to Mass in person. So now in early 21, Parish Council developed a replacement for the canceled festival. That replacement was called Three Summer Events, and it was targeted to just the parish membership to help them reconnect with each other. So the rest of the community outside of the parish was not really invited. The first event was an ice cream social that was held outdoors in June. Then the second event was an outdoor grilled dogs and brats event in July. The third and last event happened over 2 days in August. We had 24 hours of adoration starting on Friday. Then a Eucharistic procession was held on Saturday, followed by an outdoor Mass. And after that, we had a cavatelli and meatball dinner, and that was very, very well received. Lots of people attended. post-COVID, so to speak, where we're at now. The weekly emails continue, but have been upgraded to a mobile-friendly format. We're looking forward to the St. Clair Festival this summer. It starts Thursday, June 2nd, and runs through Sunday, June 5. And we are looking forward to another adoration and procession, which will again take place in August.
Boy, that's outstanding and a wonderful outreach to try to bring people back in now as finally we pray this pandemic is lessening. I have a question. Like so many parishes today, is it a struggle reaching younger people in this culture, which tends to dismiss organized religion and so forth? I just wondered if one of you might want to comment on that.
Yeah, we have learned that younger families and individuals preview multiple churches before they finally settle on a specific parish. And when I say preview, I mean they'll attend Mass for anywhere from a month to 3 months, and they'll do this among various parishes, and then they decide. And then when they finally do decide, since I do work part-time in the business office, one of the opportunities I have is to ask them, why are they coming to St. Clair? And the most often cited reason is because our parishioners are openly friendly and welcoming. These new folks feel right at home. We actually have people in the parish who will approach these new folks and they say, gee, I haven't seen you here before. Are you new to the parish? And, of course, you know, the new folks say yes, and, well, you are welcome, you know, looking forward to seeing you every week. Another thing that we've done is that starting this year, emails are being sent in a format called HTML. That is a mobile-friendly format and allows for images and videos to be seen in the email itself, not just as an attachment. And we're finding that the younger people very much prefer this format over traditional email. And just recently, Parish Council began a new program called Spotlighting New Parishioners to introduce new families to the parish membership. Very soon, St. Clair is going to become a little bit more well-known because we're going to be distributing car magnets, so we're going to be advertising on hopefully over 1,000 cars. It will show a circular version of the church with streaming rays of gold and the year of our founding, 1944.
Outstanding. Well, tell me as well, Father or Mark, how can someone learn more about St. Clair Parish? What's the best way to do so?
Best way to do so is there's two ways. Just open a browser and navigate to stclair.net. That is, Saint is spelled out, Clair, C-L-A-R-E.net. Or you can call us at 440-449-4242 and extension 101, and you'll have the pleasure of being connected with our parish secretary, Barbara Dokar.
Well, that sounds outstanding, and thank you. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak, and this presentation featuring St. Clair Parish in Lyndhurst. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Taya, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.